I used to think pain wasn't real. At least, not in the sense of being a tangible thing. It was just the result of my primal brain's inbuilt response to inform me that damage was being inflicted on my body. If I trusted the person who was giving me pain, then I knew he wasn't going to damage me. If I understood my pain, it stopped being something to fear and became something interesting. I could master the hurt and ride the high of the adrenaline that flooded my system. I could enter subspace, that glorious blank place where nothing existed but the sweet endorphins released by the pain that I embraced. But then he came along and turned that all on its head. He enjoyed administering pain to torture, not to pleasure. And I couldn't trust him not to inflict damage. He claimed he didn't like it when I forced him to damage me. He didn't want to mar his property. But that didn't mean he wasn't willing to do so in order to get what he wanted. I had tried to fight the pain for so long, to hold on to my conviction that it wasn't real. It couldn't hurt me if I didn't let it. But he gave me so much that it overwhelmed me, claiming all of my senses until my whole world was agony. I was perpetually trapped in some twisted, inverted form of subspace where nothing existed but the pain. But it gave me no pleasure. My only reprieve was the sweet reward that came with the merciful sting of a needle. If I was good, if I obeyed and screamed prettily enough, then he would give me my reward. I lived for it. That was the only time I was alive. But I had become so dependent on it that now the denial of my reward was just as terrible as the agony he gave me. It had been so long since I had gotten my last fix. Tonight, Master was testing me. He wanted to see just how obedient I was. He wanted the satisfaction of seeing just how thoroughly he had broken me. I was broken. And I didn't even care. All I cared about was my reward. Right now, my need for it was so acute that my insides were twisting and my skin was on fire. I was desperate to give him whatever he wanted so I could get my fix. If he hadn't ordered me to stand in the corner quietly and wait for him to return, then I would have been curled up on the floor sobbing. But I wasn't ensconced in the stark loneliness of the pitch-black dungeon that had become my home, and I didn't have the luxury of going to pieces. His order for my silence denied me even the right to voice my agony. He had taken me out in public for the first time, and I recognized the place where he had brought me as a BDSM club. He would be able to torment me here in front of dozens of strangers. And no one would stop him. The thought of calling out a safe word or screaming for help didn't even cross my mind. All I could think about was when he would come back and doing my best to please him so that he would grant me my reprieve. He had been gone for so long, and I was starting to panic. Something wasn't right. The sounds of intoxicated laughter and whips hitting flesh had given way to shouts and chaos, and now the club was going quiet around me. I was anxious for Master to return. He had promised he would come back for me.
Stay here and don't make a sound, whore. Know that I'll be back for you, so don't you dare say a fucking word.
I had been on my best behavior. But the phone call he received just before he left my side had enraged him. My arm throbbed where his fingers had dug into me. The fresh bruises would be obscured by my skimpy black lace dress, as were the rest of the marks he left on my body. Even though I feared his anger, I was desperate for his presence. I could endure his retribution so long as he gave me my fix. Now, a strange man was talking to me, threatening to hurt me if I didn't tell him my name. But I didn't have a name. If I did ever have a name, I didn't remember it now. I was a slave, and slaves don't have names.
Your name, girl. Tell me, now.
I recognized that authoritative tone, and I knew better than to refuse a direct order. This man wasn't my master, but maybe Master had sent him to test me.